Well, I'm really excited about what's on my heart. This actually came into my heart in the middle of our last series, and it confused me a little bit because I didn't know if God was telling me, do I need to incorporate some teaching on God's will in the middle of that series I was in. But it wasn't that at all. It was to do what I'm doing now, and that is to begin a new series, and we're calling this the joy of God's will. The joy of God's will. Those terms are not contradictory, believe it or not. And many young people today, as they come to know the Lord and begin to pursue the Lord, they don't understand that God's will is something to be enjoyed. God's will is something to be experienced, and an encounter with God that is such that it is a joyful thing to be in the will of God. It's a good thing to be in the will of God. Many people are confused over this. I was really confused growing up in church concerning God's will. And many of the things and the confusion I had, I came by it honest. Other things, I was literally taught. And it really messed me up. And when I thought about God's will, I thought in terms of this great mystery. God's will seemed to be this deep mystery, and who can really know the will of God? And you're to seek it, but never really expect to find it. You're to desire it. You're to want God's will, but again, probably never achieve God's will ultimately in your life. And those concepts were holding me back. One of the things that really messed me up was how people prayed. And as a young person, you're listening to other people pray because you're wanting to learn. And they're a model, supposedly. So we would pray, and it didn't matter what we prayed about. We would end the prayer with, if it be thy will. In other words, to a young person's mind, you mean we just prayed and asked God for something we don't even know if he wants us to have? You mean we can pray and ask God to move in our life not knowing if he wills to move in our life? So just that model of prayer confused me in the sense of, I guess you really never know the will of God even when you pray, because you got to end the prayer with, if it be your will. Well, one of the biggest shocks of my Christian experience is the first time I read the Bible. How many of you know it's a good idea to read the Bible? You may think I'm joking, but people go to church their whole life and never read the Bible. And so here I'm reading in the book of Matthew, and I finally get to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I'm looking for the phrase, if it be thy will, because that's what I've been taught. We're supposed to pray, if it be thy will. And Jesus never, ever prayed, if it be thy will. That stunned me. Then what he did pray caused me to have to start seeking God in his mind on this subject. Jesus, in his humanity in the Garden of Gethsemane, is wrestling with his human side, his natural side, with the suffering of the cross and the pain that would be associated with going to the cross. But what he prayed was, if it be possible, if there's any other way, take this cup or remove this cup from me. But he didn't stop right there. He knew the will of God was to go to the cross. He knew the will of God and the plan of God in the saving of us all. And so after he makes that statement, he says this phrase, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine be done. That is a total different prayer than if it be thy will. And so we'll talk about that and unpackage that as well a little bit in this session and then deeper later into the series. Bottom line is, I was confused over God's will. I didn't understand God's will, and I had some schools of thought that were ingrained on the inside of me that was holding me back in my walk with God. Let me go over just four simple schools of thought. Maybe you've never thought any of this. You're awesome. Maybe you don't know anybody that struggles with the will of God. You're double awesome. I'm telling you, I struggled, and many people I meet on a regular basis struggle with knowing the will of God. What is God's will for my life? I want to simplify that for you, and I want to help you walk in the will of God. Number one school of thought, and this is true now, you got to work with me a little bit here. People actually fear knowing God's will. They have a fear of knowing God's will. And young people especially, or new people to the Lord, because of what they've seen in so-called other Christians, and because of the things they've heard, they've got this hidden fear concerning God's will. Because if I really know God's will and I begin to seek God's will, it'll be horrible. it will make my life miserable, and I won't have any fun, and I won't be able to go to Disney World anymore, and I won't be... See, you don't know these people. Welcome to my world, hallelujah. There are people that are literally afraid of the will of God, because if I discover God's will, I know I'm going to be miserable, and I know I'm going to have to look like these people I've been going to church with. Why do some people fear the will of God? They've met some of you. And to them, being a Christian is no more fun, and you're mean, and you're mad, and you're upset all the time, and on I can go. And so people are afraid of the will of God. Number two connects with number one, and it's where I was for years. And that is, if I find the will of God, if I discover the will of God, surely I'm going to hate it. I'm just going to hate it. I hate the fact that I have to report to you that I was literally taught at church how to know the will of God. And here's how you know the will of God. You'll know it's God's will if you don't want to do it. Can you imagine how mean that really is and how horrible that would be? Pastor, how do I know God's will for my life? If you hate it and you don't want to do it, it's probably God. Oh man, I can't wait to get up and serve this dude. Amen. That everything he asked me to do, I'm going to hate it. Oh, I don't want to know God's will because he might, oh my goodness, he might call me to preach. Let me give you a heads up on this one. We don't need any more preachers, hallelujah, amen. But do you know how many people avoid the will of God and they're not pressing into the will of God because they think God may ask them to do something that they hate at the time? Oh man, I can't really discover God's will. I'm not sure if I'm even going to come back to this series, because if I find God's will, he may ask me to marry an ugly woman and move to Baghdad. He may call me to the mission field, and I don't want to go to the mission field, and I like my creature comforts, and I might have to go to Africa and eat bugs and brush my teeth with tree bark. Yeah, it's pretty cool in this service, at least. Y'all aren't identifying with any of this. That's pretty awesome. You'd be shocked at how many people do not press in even at church, and they'll come a while and quit. They'll come a while and quit, and deep in their heart, there's a fear that if I get too close to God and I discover his will, I just know I'm going to hate it. I'm here to tell you there's a joy in God's will. There's an excitement in God's will. There's an adventure in God's will that you're never going to be happy and fulfilled till you get in the will of God, until you know you're in the will of God. Number three, and this one I was raised under, that God's will is just for what I call a select elect. It's for the super saints. You can't know God's will. God's will is too deep. It's too wide. It's too complex. There are nuances with God's will, and only the super saints can really know God's will. I actually had a person that had graduated from cemetery, and they had a doctorate's degree, and they thought I was arrogant, and they were trying to correct me because I was saying, I know God's will, and I'm in God's will, and I love God's will, and you can't know God's will. There was a superior attitude that somehow or another God's will is so lofty and it's only for these few that are so holy. I'm here to tell you that everyone within the sound of my voice can and should know without a doubt God's will for your life. God's will for your life. And we're going on an adventure, and we're going to discover together and find that place of knowing we are in God's will, and our lives are going to be forever altered for good. And then the last one of my favorites as well, I'll be bound to a boring life. Where does that come from? It comes from people attending church, looking at Christians, and assuming these people are in the will of God, they know the will of God, and if that's the will of God, I'm headed for Six Flags. They don't want nothing to do with what we call Christianity today, because I'm telling you, serving God is not boring. I'm telling you, living for God is not boring. I'm telling you, there's nothing more exciting than knowing God and experiencing God and God living with you and you living with God. It is joy, really unspeakable and full of glory. And just because others haven't manifested it doesn't mean it's not available for me. It's one of the reasons I love our church in Victory Life is I want a visitor when they come to church here or they're logging on or however they're connecting to us, I want them to get a different impression about serving God than the impression they've gotten in the past. I love serving God. I'm excited about serving God, and I pray you are as well. You will be before I'm through. Amen? All right. Two extremes. I'm going to cover two extremes, and I've been in these extremes myself, and again, nearly 90% of everybody I meet winds up in one of these extremes. So look for yourself as I begin to unpackage this, or at least think of somebody else. I prefer you not really go into the somebody else, but I'd rather you think of you. Where are you at in my chart as far as God's will for your life? Because I'm going to get you in the middle of this chart. Right here's the sweet spot. I'm calling it the sweet spot, and no, this is not my deer stand. I was asked a few services ago, is that my deer stand? No, this is God's will, which is in my deer stand, but this is God's will, and this is knowing God's will, and this is understanding God's will for your life. I'm calling it the sweet spot, and then you see the shade changing as you go in this direction away from that sweet spot. I'm calling it no worries. I'll explain that. Then you can see the green and the shade changes as you go to this extreme, intense worries. Now, when I say no worries here, I'm not talking about in a positive way. I like that phrase, no worries, but it was the only phrase I could come up with for this chart. I don't mean it like, hey, I don't have any worries, meaning I love God, I'm content, I got peace in my heart. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about no worries in the sense of these people live their life in regards to God's will with no attention paid to God's will, no recognition of God's will. No pursuit of God's will. No care for God's will. These are the kind of people that just believe whatever is, and whatever will be and shall be, will be. Que sera, sera. That's a big case of safui, safui. If you're not operating in faith obedience to God's will, you're going to be steamrolled over in this life, and you're not going to be fruitful, and you're not going to be productive. Again, if you think everything that just happens in our world is God's will, so you just kind of flow with it, then you're going to get steamrolled over by the devil. Now, these people are the people that show up at church, and then they're gone for a while because it's not important. Gathering together is not important. Worshiping God's not important. God's will for my life just doesn't matter. And again, they miss the joy of God's will. They miss the power of God's will. And a lot of people are in that camp and in that extreme that they don't even have a thought about what is God's will for my life. I call them CEOs of the kingdom of God, Christmas and Easter only. They'll show up, but why show up any more than that? It's kind of like one guy said to you, you go to church every week? Don't you get it? That'll sink in later. How many of you know we're here for other reasons than to just get it and it's over now, we don't come anymore? No, we're seeking God. No, we're engaging with God. We're fellowshipping with one another. We're being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are on that extreme. Now, the only thing worse than that, and the devil will steamroll you over right here, is this other extreme, intense worries. People anxious over the will of God. People stressed over the will of God. And they're asking me constantly, what is God's will for my life? And what does God want me to do? And where does God want me to go? And these people are never happy. They're never satisfied. They live in the past in the sense of they're constantly looking back. Yeah, I missed God's will 10 years ago. Yeah, I had a chance to do great things and be in God's will, but my window of opportunity closed. And so they're lamenting the past constantly and feeling like they missed God's will. Or they're constantly living in the future. One of these days, I'll be in God's will. One of these days, I'm going to find God's will. And they're miserable. And the sad thing is they think, one day when they find so-called God's will, they'll be happy. But the truth is, they just take their misery into that place and desecrate it. No, you better get happy in Jesus now so you'll be happy in Jesus where He wants to take you. So, These people, a lot of times, are forcing the will of God. They're trying to make something happen or force things, and we don't want to be in that camp. All right, let me show you the sweet spot, and then this is what I'm going to unpackage over the next few sessions. The sweet spot of God's will is this. You have to think of God's will in terms of being versus doing or going. You have to adopt the New Testament paradigm of knowing God, of God and Christ now in you, the hope of glory. And God's will is a matter of me being, not always doing or going. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is a lot of doing connected to God's will and a lot of going connected to God's will. But your doing and your going will never be what God called it to be until it comes out of being. What do I mean by being? What is God's will for my life? That I be a new creation in Christ. That I be a witness. Not that I go knocking on doors doing witnessing, but that I be a witness. Acts 1:8 says, I'm going to receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon me, and I'll be a witness. Now my doing of witnessing will bear fruit because of me being a witness first. Now my going will be prosperous because I'm not going to find God's will. I'm in God's will in my going now, being a blessing. What's God's will for my life? To be a blessing everywhere I go and in everything I do. What's God's will for my life? Be a... I'm drawing a blank on all my B's. I'm thinking of Matthew 5. Jesus said, in our Christ likeness, he called them be attitudes. Not do attitudes, not go attitudes, but they are called the be attitudes. You'll recall when Jesus was dealing with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 concerning eternal life. He didn't say, now, here's how you see the kingdom of God, Nicodemus. Here's how you enter the kingdom of God. Go do this, do this, do this, quit this, quit this. Go over to this place, go to the temple, go to Jerusalem, go to over here. No, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What's God's will for my life? That I be the salt of the earth and that I be the light of the world. What's God's will for my life is that I be Christ-like in everything I do and be Christ-like in everywhere I go. Now, if I'm being something in my doing will bear fruit. And if I'm being something in my going will always prosper. Amen. That's not even a third of you, so this is going to be fun. This is where I've got to get us all and everyone within the sound of my voice. Until you view God's will in terms of being, you're never going to get the doing right. And you're never going to get the going right. But when you get being right, what is God's will? Is that I be kind, that I be Christ-like, that I be salt everywhere I go. And everything I do, I'm pouring salt on it. That I be light, that I be a witness, that I, you fill in the blank. Once you get that settled, God's will, that's your sweet spot. Listen, that's where all the joy is now. Because now I can be happy every day of my life. I can be a blessing every day of my life. And it doesn't matter what I do or where I go. I am who I am when I get there. When I get there. See, I got to be happy here if when I get there I'll be happy. I got to be content where I'm at now. If doing this, I'm going to find contentment in it. And so that's the sweet spot that God wants us all to be in. All right, let me give you some basics in God's will, and these are basic building blocks that once I got these four things, there's four of them, once I got these four things laid, everything else took off for me. And I've seen God's will, and I've enjoyed God's will now for over three decades, going on my fourth decade. And I'm telling you, the will of God and being in the will of God, it really is joy and fulfillment. All right, number 1 and 2 and 3 are found in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's read this together. I beseech you therefore, brethren, Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now watch this. And be not conformed. Don't be shaped like, and don't look like the world. Now, that needs explanation. What does that mean to not look like the world, be shaped like the world, fashioned as the world, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed? Go through spiritual formation. Go through a supernatural change in your life. But be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Let me just say here, thank God for what that really says. It didn't say you'll be changed through the removal of your minds. We need to think. It's okay to think. We just got to quit thinking contrary to God's thinking. We got to quit thinking like the world thinks. He goes on to say, after our minds are being renewed, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That is so awesome. Again, be not conformed to this world. And he didn't say, by the changing of your haircuts. He didn't say, don't be like the world by the changing of your wardrobe. Do you know, it's amazing to me how in Christianity still today at large, much of the trying to conform people is coming from without. And it's man's conforming and religion conforming versus the transformation of the Christian life comes from within through the renewing of my mind to God's love for me, the renewing of my mind to His word of grace and word of faith, to the renewing of my mind of His kingdom and kingdom principles. I pray I get to the point that I'm able to communicate soon because of our culture on the issue of Islam versus pure Christianity and how demonic Islam and other religions really are compared to pure Christianity and how confused an entire generation of young people really are. But part of their confusion is because in many Christian so-called circles, we're no better than a Muslim in the sense of we demand for everybody to have the same haircut. We demand for everybody to have the same wardrobe and kind of clothes. What's different in that than Islam and what they especially do in the abuse of women that they operate in? There's no difference in that. One of the reasons so many young people are having a problem coming into the church and coming into Christianity is because, again, they're thinking they have to conform outwardly to some standard versus a changed heart for God and a changed heart for people now. We need to help them understand. You know, I'm not trying to defend my weird hair. And this is my last service, and I need to stay on track to get through. But I tell you, I don't mind that religious people see me on TV or they see me on Facebook or they see me on some kind of video and their first reaction is, look at what the dogs drug up. I just assume they turn me off immediately. I can't help them. But if somebody can get past my hair and hear my heart, your life will be forever changed for the glory of God. I struggled for years over all that kind of stuff, and there was a little bit of a rebellious side to me, and I'm trying to get better. I'm not doing very well. But I'm just telling you that the worldliness that people have accused me of in the past has nothing to do with my hair, has nothing to do with my clothes. Worldliness is how you think. Worldliness is you adopting the paradigms of the death processes of the world in your mind. If you do not have a biblical worldview versus the world's view, then you're a worldly person. You're a carnal person. And I guarantee you can cut your hair just right. You can wear the right clothes. You can work on your Christianese and how you say what you say. But if your heart is not attached to God and your thoughts aren't in line with His thoughts, you're still carnal and you're still worldly. Amen. We are going through a spiritual formation from within as Christians, because the only difference in us, pure Christians and Christianity, and dead religion is the Holy Spirit. What separates us from all these religions, dear ones, is the Holy Spirit that's working on the inside of you. Every religion has a holy book. Every religion gives money. Every religion prays. But let me tell you what, only Christians have a Holy Spirit and Christ in them now, the hope of glory. The change in our life comes from within, and it's from knowing God's will and understanding God's will. All right, let's break this down. He said, prove. He said, you want to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. When I'm through with this series, it's not my desire that everyone can say what the will of God is for your life. My goal at the end of this would be that you demonstrate, that you experience, and that you discern the will of God for your life. That's what the word prove means. So as we're being renewed in the spirit of our mind, as we're changing our thinking, we're thinking like God thinks versus the world thinks, we're going through this different formation and transformation. He says you'll prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now listen to me, this will help somebody. There are not three different wills of God there. Many people miss God's will in their life because they categorize being in the will of God as either good, acceptable, and maybe one day perfect. It's not three different wills. Let me read it to you in the New Living Translation, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I like that translation because it simplifies it. We're talking about one will here with different adjectives, if you will, descriptive words here. See, a lot of people do live their life, okay, I'm saved, so I'm in the good will of God. I'm only in the good will of God. And man, if I could just quit cussing and lying and things like that. Maybe if I could quit a few of those things, I could be in the acceptable will of God. And man, once I get into the acceptable will of God, maybe, you know, if I could just get the power to quit beating my husband. Gotcha. If I could just get out of this spouse abuse or abusing my children or really get some of this sin now out of my life, then maybe I can get into the perfect will of God. That's why these people are never happy. They're never joyful. They're never excited about God and the things of God, is because they're trying to do something again to evolve into what is called the perfect will of God. No, I'm here to tell you God's got a will for you, and that will is good. It is nothing but good. And I'm telling you, if you walk with Him, it'll be acceptable. You won't fight against it your whole life. And I'm telling you, God's will for you is perfect for you. For you, just like His will is perfect for me. Let me break them down quickly. Number one, God's will is always, always good. I'm not going to spend time here because we spent 3 hours together on God's good. God's good. God's good. I want to encourage you, if you're hearing me for the first time, to download those, to listen to the goodness of God, because this is foundational if you're going to enjoy God's will, if you're going to fulfill God's will for your life. You got to know it's nothing but good. He does not will any harm for you. He does not will ill will for you. You may be experiencing something that's not good, or something that's bad, but you got to know God wills nothing but good for you. And all the time, He wills nothing but good. In James chapter 1, it was one of our passages, verse 17 and 18. It says that every good gift and perfect gift cometh down from above. And he talks about God being light and nothing but light, and there's no shadow of turning with Him. I don't care how you're feeling, and I don't care what it looks like. God wills good for you. It doesn't mean everything's going to be good always, and it doesn't mean that bad things don't happen to good people. It does mean, though, I know in my heart of hearts, God's will for me is good and nothing but good. Once you lay that foundation, dear ones, life takes on a whole new perspective. It truly does. All right, number two, and this one's huge. Number two is God's will is acceptable. It's acceptable. When you first get saved or you first begin to inquire about the things of God, maybe you visit a church, maybe you're watching online or something like that, many times we view God's will as unacceptable. And I want to reconcile something for you here that's huge. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 26 in our minds here, verses 39 through 42. That's where Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Here's how I viewed that for years, and I'm going to reconcile this for you. Think of a triangle, and here's the base, okay? and the triangle goes up like this. Next week I'll have this chart for you because I just wrote it down last night in my heart. So I'll have it next week and explain it more. But look at the triangle in your imagination. You got my will is over here, and God's will is way over here at the bottom of the triangle. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, I used to think, even when I figured out what he really prayed, he was going, not my will, I'm way over here, not my will, but thine be done over here. Because that was my experience early in my walk with God. It always seemed like my will was way over here, and God's will was way over here, and they opposed each other. And I actually thought I would live my whole life like that, that every time I will something, God's going to will the opposite, and our wills are going to be opposing at the bottom of this triangle. Watch this. As you walk with God, as you seek God, as you do what you're doing even right now, your will many times will be over here because of your flesh. God's will, because it's perfect, pure, and righteous, may be over here. But God's will and the joy of his will is at the top of the triangle, and as you head closer and closer to God, your will and his will get closer and closer and closer. Now, watch these scriptures. In Psalms 37, verse 4 and 5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways unto the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. That just told me, as I delight in God, listen, he changes the desires of my heart, and my desires start to match his desires. Now here's a powerful truth. This is going to really help somebody. Jesus is in the garden. It appears he's wrestling with the will of God. Not my will, but thine be done. But watch this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says about Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did everybody hear that? For the joy that was set before him. Jesus wasn't in the cross or in the garden concerning going to the cross. Not my will. I really don't want to go, but thy will be done. I guess I'll go if I have to go. No, Jesus was in the garden going, not my will, but thine be done. See the difference? Many of you, you're still at the bottom of the triangle, at least in your thinking, because of all those fears, anxieties, misconstrued ideas. I'm telling you, as you get closer and closer to God, your will changes. And it begins to match his will. It's like a marriage. Sue and I, in our marriage, I can't tell you how many times I've said, where would you like to go eat? And Sue would reciprocate and say, I want to go where you want to go. Well, good. Tell me where you want to go then, because I want to go where you want to go. Well, I really do want to go wherever you want to go. Well, I want to go home and fast. If this keeps up. When we first got married, where do you want to go eat? I want to go eat here. When I wanted to really go eat over here. But as we lived life together and enjoyed our lives together, I really, really, really do want to go where she wants to go. And she really, really wants to go where I want to go. And so we wind up at home. I don't know if I can unpackage this in simplicity, but I'll never forget the time my relationship with the Lord evolved to the point that I was asking him what he wanted. What is your will? And God asked me, what do you want? It stunned me. You mean you really care about what I want? I thought your will was all about me not wanting what I really want and figuring out how to want what you want. See, I don't know if I can unpackage that for you. I do know this. God's will is that you get so close to him and you walk with him, and it's not fakey, it's not phony, it's not this religious goofy stuff that we see in a lot of places, but it is so real. Like Sue and I are not goofy in our relationship. It's very real, and I guarantee you, you will enjoy the day you hear God say, what do you want? I want what you want, because your want has changed so much because of your relationship with God. God can trust you to give you what you want. I don't know if I can explain that. Now we're talking joy. Now we're talking, it's not always a one-way relationship where it's never what I want, it's always just what he wants. No, in my relationship, he has changed my want-tos that are matching his will for my life. And I'm telling you, it's acceptable. It's acceptable. I'm not at the bottom of the triangle anymore. And that's unacceptable. I really don't want that, but I'll do it. No. I'm at that sweet spot, and I'm in that sweet spot where, man, just tell me what you want, because that's what I want. I love now what God loves and hate what God hates. Early in my life, I hated what God loved, and I loved what God hated. Those days are behind me. Thank God for the sweet spot. Amen. Thank God for the sweet spot. Then the last one is God's will is perfect. Now you talk about hard to communicate. God's will is perfect. How can anything be perfect in such an imperfect world? How can anything be perfect in my life when I'm a vessel that's not perfect? Think about that for a minute. There is nothing but darkness all around us. There's nothing but death all around us. There's nothing but pain and suffering in this world. And I dealt with some of that in our last series on God's goodness. But yet God says to me, Dwayne, my will for you is perfect. What does that mean? It means that God created me and fashioned me in my mother's womb, and that my divine design, who and what I am, is perfectly made to match God's will for my life. And I, by design, match God's will, and God's will, because of my design, matches me. It is perfect for me. When I look back and think that I was afraid that God may call me to preach, and I may have to stand up in front of people, and to think how afraid I was of that, and all my insecurities, and all of my fears of being misunderstood, not being able to communicate, and on you can go with the fears of public speaking that when you're a young person just begin to overwhelm you. I stand here today and I say, God is so smart. I am so fulfilled. I'm so happy. I am right in the middle of God's will and plan for I was made to do what I'm doing, and I'm good at it. Hallelujah. Amen. I know some of you are having a meltdown. You can't say you're good at anything. I understand that. But I'm telling you, I can't imagine me doing anything else, being anywhere else. You know why? Because I'm being what I was created to be. I'm being a pastor. I'm being a teacher. I'm being a blessing for some of you. I'm being kind. I'm being Christ-like. I'm being in relationship with God. All of my being now is affecting all of my doing and all of my going, and everything I'm doing is blessed, and everywhere I'm going, I'm blessed and being a blessing. That's God's will for you. That's God's will for you. Now let me show you number four and wrap it all up. God's will is to be known and understood. Now some of you are going to miss this because it's so simple. What's God's will for my life? For you to know his will. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor. What's God's will for my life? See, when people ask me what is God's will for their life, they want me to make a decision for them on who to marry, what job to take or reject, what college to go to or trade school to go to. And so I mess them up real bad when they're asking me what God's will in their doing and going is. I bring them back to knowing. God's will is that you know his will. You don't understand, Pastor. I need to know what God's will concerning marrying so-and-so is. No. You better kick into high gear on being. Because if you're not being who God made you to be, and you're pretending to be somebody you're not in what's called a date in our culture, and that other person isn't being who God made them to be, and they're faking it and being something they're not, you're fixing to go into being and making a major mistake called marriage. But if you're being who God created you to be, you're only going to have a certain kind of person even drawn to you. And if they're being who God called them to be, if they're being content, if they're being thankful, if they're being kind, if they're being salt, if they're being a new creation, if they're being a witness, if they're being light, being who God made them, and you're being who God made you, the two of you can join in holy matrimony and be blessed. And be a blessing. And so you've got to know God's will. All right, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I believe that you're to know what God's will is. Well, what do I mean? Colossians 1 and Ephesians 5. Look at verse 9 of Colossians. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. He's not talking about an individual. He's talking about a whole group. It would be like Paul writing Victory Life and saying, Victory! Man, I'm excited about all the things I'm hearing. And since I've heard about all these good things, I've not ceased to pray for you. He's not talking about individuals. He's talking about us. So this is one prayer for everybody. And to desire that you might be filled, he's praying, that you might be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now watch what happens when you're filled with the knowledge of his will. Verse 10 says, that you might walk worthy, there's your going, of the Lord unto all pleasing. In other words, if I'm filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, then everywhere I go, I'm going to walk worthy and I'm going to be pleasing to the Lord wherever I go. He says, being fruitful now, here's your doing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Once you are filled with the knowledge of his will, being a new creation, being a witness, just being, just knowing God, enjoying God. This is eternal life, that they may know thee. Be in relationship with God now. Be at peace with God. Being. Once you know that will and you're filled with the understanding and wisdom of being, everywhere you go, you're going to be a blessing and prosper. Everything you do is going to be blessed. That's why we've got to understand this. So that's my prayer, and I'm going to be praying every day through this series for everyone within the sound of my voice to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And when I say filled with the knowledge of his will, you got to disconnect from doing. You got to disconnect from going. Do I marry? Do I go to school here? Do I quit this? Do I quit? Tell me God's will. God's will is in being, and from being, all of your doing has to come out of being if it's going to prosper. All of your going has to come out of being if you're going to be powerful when you get to wherever you think you need to go. All right? Ephesians 5, same principle. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Wake up, Christians. See then that you walk circumspectly. Now there's our going and our doing. Not as fools, but as wise. Understanding or redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now look at this. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now how could he write that like a commandment if all of God's will was wrapped up in just doing? Because how many of you know God's will in your doing is different a crowd this size? There's thousands of different doings. There's thousands of different goings. But what if God's will and understanding God's will is understood in the terms of being? I can command every one of you to know the will of God. What is the will of God? That you be a new creation. That you be born again. That you be filled with the Holy Spirit. That you be a witness. That you be salt. That you be Christ-like. That you be, being. Just being changes everything in our doing and in our going where the hand of the Lord is upon it. This has been huge in my life. In our life group, I was sharing with a group on how that I can look back and I can say that for the last 37 years, I don't have one regret, and I've been in the will of God 37 years. Now, that would sound like arrogance to most people. Most people would have a meltdown if you said that. What do I mean by that? I don't mean I've done everything right for 37 years. I don't mean I've never made a mistake for 37 years. I mean that I was being in relationship with God. I was being a witness. I was being thankful. What's God's will for your life? Be thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. I was being, and therefore it affected all of my doing and all of my going for the glory of God. I didn't do everything perfect. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, with what you know now, didn't you make a lot of mistakes? I didn't know what I know now then. So no, if I knew what I knew now back then and did some of the things I did, I would have regretted it. It would have been a mistake. But I didn't know what I know now. I operated in what I knew that day, and I enjoyed God that day, and I loved God with all my heart that day. I loved people with all my heart that day, and I served both. I was in the will of God. This is the joy I'm talking about of experiencing God's will, because it profoundly affects everything for the rest of your life once you rest in the finished work of Christ and be the best you can be today by the grace of God. Today, for today, that's the best job I've ever done. Will I do better tomorrow? I will do better because I'll know more or I'll experience more. But for today, that's the best I can be. It's the honest and the most honest I can be. And so I'll leave here today knowing I'm in the will of God. And I loved it. I loved it. Every minute of it. Amen? All right. Our takeaway for our life groups, and we'll be dealing with this again for this entire series. Number one takeaway, God's will must be understood in terms of being versus doing and going. Once you get that right, you'll get the wisdom of God on everything you do and everywhere you go. And then here's my favorite. Number two takeaway for today, welcome to the journey. I hope you experience the joy. I hope you experience the joy. Father, I thank you for your will for our lives.
For additional free CDs or a catalog of all our teaching messages, please contact Dwayne Sheriff Ministries, Post Office Box 427, Durant, Oklahoma 74701, or call us at 580-920-1791. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.